إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد كتاب التوحيد الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد we're still reading the chapter number 7 from كتاب التوحيد قال الشيخ الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله باب من الشرك لبس الحلقة والخيط ونحوهما لرفع البلاء أو دفعه. To wear a ring, twine, or anything similar to them for prevention or lifting of harm or affliction is considered an act of shirk. Once again, in this chapter, not anybody who wear a ring. Now, this is to wear a ring, twine, or anything similar to them. But this is the intention for prevention of lifting of harm or affliction. For prevention or lifting of harm or affliction is an act of shirk. In the first class of related to this, the Sheikh mentioned that this chapter here, it contains things that contradict Tawheed. That's why it is mentioned in Kitab al-Tawheed. Because these are things that are against Tawheed. Somebody to wear a ring, thinking that that ring will prevent harm or affliction, or things like this, this is against Tawheed. Someone who understands Tawheed correctly does not do things like this, does not believe that a ring will prevent harm. Certain people, they say, as long as they have this twine and this little amulet or whatever on them, no accidents. Never. And the like. And this is against Tawheed and contradicts a Tawheed. The Shaykh says, because Tawheed is also known by knowing its opposite. وَبِأَدْدَادِهَا تُعْرَفُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. Sometimes you may have a definition of something, but once you know its opposite, it helps you even to understand it clearly. And the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, رحمه وتعالى, as usual, in every chapter, he don't just start talking, but he brings ayats and ahadith. That's Kitab al-Tawheed. Ayat, ahadith. Ayat from the Quran, ahadith from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He mentioned as proof from the Quran, Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 38. And we mentioned that, alhamdulillah, we dealt with it. And from the Sunnah, the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn, when the Prophet ﷺ saw a man wearing halqa, a brass ring, and he asked him, "What is this?" The man replied, "To overcome the weakness of old age." The Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Remove it, for it can only add to your weakness. For should death overtake you while you are wearing it, you would never succeed." Also, the other hadith we have mentioned that's what we stopped. Alhamdulillah, we took that explanation of this hadith as well. We continue now. We have two narrations, two more narrations, two small narrations. inshallah ta'ala, to finish this chapter. وَلَهُ عَنْ عُقْبَ بْنِ عَامِرٍ مَرْفُوعًا وَلَهُ يعني إمام أحمد في مسنده وَلَهُ عَنْ عُقْبَ بْنِ عَامِرٍ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً فَلَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ وَمَنْ تَعَلَّقَ وَدْعَةً فَلَا وَدَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala also recorded a ma'ruf, marfu' hadith on the authority of Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anh that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wears a talisman or an amulet would never see his wish fulfilled by Allah. Whoever wears a talisman or an amulet for a reason, would never see his wish fulfilled by Allah. And whoever hangs a seashell would never get peace and rest. In another version, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, whoever wears a talisman has committed shirk. Has committed shirk. راوي الحديث عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله عنه هو عقبة ابن عامر الجهني He is عقبة ابن عامر الجهني صحابي مشهور He is a renowned companion from the companions of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنهم أجمعين وكان فقيها فاضلا He was a jurist, has the fiqh of the deen. He was a noble companion. وَلِيَ إِمَارَةَ مِصْرَ لِمُعَاوِيَ ثَلَاثَ سِنِينَ وَمَاتَ قَرِيبًا مِنَ السِّتِينَ أي ستين للهجرة. In the time of Muawiyah, when Muawiyah was the ruler of the Muslims, was the Amir al-Mu'mineen after the death of Ali radiallahu anhu. Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he was the governor of Egypt during the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was the Amir, the ruler of all of the Muslims. But however, Muawiyah assign governors and deputy governors to represent him in different province, Muslim province, in Iraq, because he was in Syria, in Damascus, Dimashq, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. However, he has governors and umara, they call them umara, in Mecca, one in Medina, in Iraq, in Yemen, Egypt. And wherever the Muslim lands, he will select and choose and assign someone to take care of the affairs of the people over there. But he is the overall ruler and Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he did that. He was the governor of Egypt, the Amir on Egypt for 3 years. And he died close to the 60th year of the Hijrah. Close to the 60th year of the Hijrah. Sheikh Sarah al-Fawzan, he explained the wordings of this hadith, من تعلق تميمة whoever wears a talisman, he says, meaning here that the punishment that is mentioned here in the hadith by the Prophet ﷺ is for those who wears it or put it on others. Sometimes you find some people put it on others. Some people, yes, they willingly put that on themselves. Sometimes you find parents put that on their children. You find people put it on their animals. They're riding beasts and animals and whatever. So you find some children put it on their, like some parents or grandparents, they put those talismans on their children, believing that, in the same way mentioned in the hadith, the tamima, these talismans, what are they? هي خرزات كانت العرب تعلقها على أولادهم يتقون بها العين. The tamima is this talisman, is like a bracelet made out of beads. Made out of beads. The Arabs, they used to hang it around their children, on their children, put it on their children, whether around their necks or their wrists. So to avoid the evil eye. To avoid the evil eye. Al-wada'a is a seashell. Al-wada'a shay'un yakhruju min al-bahri yushbihu as-sadaqa yattaquna bihi al-'ayn. Likewise, they used to collect this from the seashore and like a seashell, and they used to believe that whoever have this, it is protected from the evil eye. المعنى الإجمالي للحديثين. Now the Shaykh is going to give us the general explanation and meaning of these two narrations. Because there is two narrations. Because the first narration, and then he says in another narration, whoever wears the talisman has committed shirk, polytheism. يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو على من استعمل التمائم يعتقد فيها دفع الضر بأن يعكس الله قصده ولا يتم له أموره. He says in these narrations there is a supplication from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, a supplication from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم against, not for. Now the Prophet ﷺ making dua. As we human beings, somebody make dua against you and you stop right there, whatever you do, doing, akhi. SubhanAllah, you make dua against me for. This is the Prophet ﷺ making dua against who? Against anyone who used this talisman, but believing that they repel harm. Those who wear this talisman, these beads, and with the belief that they repel harm. The dua of the Prophet ﷺ against that person, that Allah may never give them what they wish. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reverse that against them. I remember some 11, 12 years ago, I worked for Delta actually as a ramp agent. We used to park planes and offload them and load them on and stuff. That's not an easy job, by the way. It's difficult. And the money wasn't there either. They cheat. SubhanAllah. But we have this guy named Domingo. Domingo in Spanish usually means what? Sunday. But they have names. This guy was from Colombia. This guy, whenever he walk around us, I hear, look what this guy has. Finally I find out, because he hide this. Finally one day, I find this guy got like 20 the beads, you know those beads? Almost 20 of them around his neck. And I'm like, people usually put only one or two. You that special? He's like, man, this is for this, this is for that, this is for this, this is for that. This is for my wife, this is for my Chiquita, and name her name, his one daughter. He has like a couple daughters. This is for the other daughters, this is for her school, this is for this teacher. This is for my car, this is for my truck, this is for my vacation, this is for my grandma, this. I said, man, I can tell you one thing. That's why you were slow all these days. You were running slow and sweating and can't get nothing done. Have a couple of kilos around your neck. So get rid of that stuff. Said, what? No. And I said, listen, man, do you think these things protect you? He says, of course. And he got offended. I said, let me show you one thing. If they protect you, then they can protect themselves. I said, give me just one. I'm going to spit on it and walk on it and see what they can do to me. I don't want that Allah happen to you. Oh, yeah. I said, you care about me now. We explained to him, but hey, sometimes Allah shirk is deeply rooted, but who knows? That's been like 11, 12 years ago. Maybe Allah guided him to Islam, who knows? If he's still not, may Allah open his heart to Islam, Ameen. Because after that he used to come and listen to me and ask some questions and stuff. Maybe it hits him that, like, listen, this man makes sense. I said, you have to protect those things, don't you? If somebody wants to snatch one of this, what would you do? Would you just leave the beads take care of the man? Or would you fight for them? He has no answer. Because they know sometimes. I said, I give you the answer, you will fight for that. Come on, man, you will fight for something, anything's going to protect your Chiquita, protect your grandmother, you give more years to your grandmother. Allah al-Musta'an. Alhamdulillah for Islam, ya Ikhwan, and for Tawheed. كما أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو على من استعمل الودع لنفس القصد السابق ألا يتركه الله في راحة واطمئنان بل يحرك عليه كل مؤذن. Likewise in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم make dua, a supplication against anyone who use seashell, believing that seashell give them tranquility, peace. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never showed them peace and tranquility. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subject those people who do such things to all types of harm. وَلَيَادَ بِاللَّهِ وَهَذَا الدُّعَاءُ يُقْصَدُ مِنْهُ التَّحْذِيرُ مِنَ الْفِعْلِ. Now the Shaykh explained to us what it means of this dua. The Prophet ﷺ making this supplication against these people, it means that it is a warning from doing this. Since the Prophet ﷺ making a dua against such people, the Shaykh says it means that the Prophet ﷺ is warning his ummah from such actions. They shouldn't do these things. كما أنه يخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الثاني أن هذا العمل شرك بالله. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ informed us in the second hadith that this action is a shirk, wal'iyadu billah. This action is shirk. مناسبه الحديثين الباب. Then the Shaykh mentioned the relevance of these two narrations in this chapter. قال أن فيهما دلالة على تحريم تعليق التمائم والودع واعتباره شركا لما يقوم بقلب المعلق لها من الاعتماد على غير الله. He said, it is clear in these narrations, there is clear proof that it is forbidden to wear talismans or to have a seashells and believe in them in that way, because it is shirk. It is a shirk for those who wear talismans for those reasons, to remove harms or repel harms or to protect them from evil eye and the like. This is shirk. Why it is shirk? Because the heart of those people who do these actions, instead of being attached to Allah and depending on Allah, now is attached to those talismans. See, that's why it is shirk. The heart. Instead of these people's hearts is attached to Allah, call upon Allah, ask Allah, now they ask, they think that they don't have to do that. That talisman will do. And that's shirk, wal-iyadu billah. Because these people now, they depend on objects, inanimate objects, instead to depend on Allah, to have tawakkul and i'timad on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الحديثين. So now talisman is general, but there is people, they do different things. People, they hang a lot of things. So it's all, that's why he said وَغَيْرِهِ, anything else. Anything else. Anything that the people, some people they hang the Kaaba. Or the Mus'haf. People, they have the Mus'haf, little Mus'haf, around their necks. Yet worse, if it's in gold for men. And then they think, as long as they have this little object, inanimate object, which Ayatul Kursi, or the name of the Prophet, or something of Allah, that little metal, that's it. You have it on, as long as you have it on, you're cool. No accidents, nobody touch you, your property will never get stolen. No. This is shirk, wal-iyadu billah. ما يستفاد من الحديثين. What is some of the benefits from these two narrations? Now, Ikhwan, I listen to you first, and then we can read to you what the Shaykh says. What are some of the main points that you remember, inshallah ta'ala, you can deduct and take out of these two narrations? Naam, are you? Amen.
It depends on the intention of the person. Because it says if the person believes, that this thing repels harm or benefits.
No, but also if somebody just wear it like that, for what reason? من العبث. You know what I'm talking about? Even if somebody wears those things and doesn't believe that those things do those things, so what is the benefit of wearing them?
Some people wear it for jewelry.
He's just going to subject himself to being accused by others who don't know. No. I see him, I'm mushrik. So a person should leave that stuff alone. No.
Back in the day, they didn't know about metaphysics. They didn't know about the science of, a diamond or gold. You know, as far as a diamond and gold can be, can actually aid you as far as medicine. As we intake iron, we intake copper, we intake magnesium and metal for our blood, for our body. But they probably didn't know that, they were given stuff without the proper information.
When you says back in the day, they didn't know, who you mean with they?
The people, the uneducated, how even now, to this day, they give they give you a religion, and they don't explain it to you, they don't tell you to read it about it. And then you take the religion and you think you're saved because you believe in, as long as you just say this, you say.
Hold on, because the difference here is not what they says, what the Prophet said.
Right.
All right? So when he come with the Prophet says, we can never say he didn't know. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he relayed from Allah. And for somebody to say, well, the Prophet didn't know then what the medicine these days, that's a big mistake.
Well, not the Prophet.
Well, that's what the Prophet ﷺ, he's the one who says, whoever wears a talisman. And if he was something exception, the Prophet ﷺ, he would say this. Right?
Oh, maybe I didn't ask any question.
No. No. The question is, give us some benefits from the hadith.
Okay.
But you, Jazakallah khair, and you made a comment, which is okay, alhamdulillah, is appreciated. But just I want to correct something, you know, because there are certain people, they may think that, oh, listen, man. Some people, they even say that about the Quran. They look, listen, man, this Quran worked for those Arabs of that time. There is no technology, but now we have technology, man. Come on, man. Those people, what they saying? They saying that Allah didn't know that it is this technology going to happen and take place. Can somebody in his right mind say that? Of course, that's a big mistake. As for the hukum, the ulama, they mentioned that. Now, any other benefits? Now, Abdul Rahman.
When you first started, you mentioned that the Sheikh said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, that the Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he brought this evidence as to prove that the when someone believes in this, this is the opposite of Tawheed.
Yeah, I know. Let's go back to my brothers, Zakallah Khairan. Naam, you were right. Our body needs magnesium, iron, right? Copper. But we take it as supplement. You know what I'm saying? We eat it. It comes in some fruits. Like somebody, the doctor tell them, listen, you need some more iron, man. Your iron level is low, right? What that? If the doctor said that, listen, I recommend that you take some more iron. What that mean? A person go to Home Depot and get 2 ounces of iron, put it around his neck? I'm asking you.
It doesn't mean that.
Yes. At ahsant. Jazakallah khair. But these people, they are not taking anything in. These people, they put it in all. And that's what makes the whole thing.
No benefit.
Right or wrong. When a doctor said to someone, listen, man, your iron level is kind of low, man. Take some iron. But that doctor, he's supposed to, I agree with you, the doctor's supposed to explain to them. Can you imagine an old lady, an old man, they never study, they know anything, you know. The only iron they know is the, that's iron right there. So now here's the doctor, maybe that doctor, he thought like he's talking to somebody who they know. Listen, you need some more iron, okay? You gotta take some iron. Put some iron on you, on your system, okay? Now the grand lady, she's going to come and load it with some iron. Her daughter, what? The doctor said. All right? The doctor said. But did the doctor said it or not?
He said it.
Yeah, he did said it. Let's see, did he intend that? No. The doctor intend, eat fruits, eat things that have iron. I don't know if fruits have iron. How do you mean? Give me one fruit have iron. I don't know. Lentils have iron. Alhamdulillah. Huh? Chickpeas. They're not fruits. I don't know if they're fruits. Greens. Anyway.
Jama. When it comes to warding off evil and seeking protection, we should rely on Allah.
Ahsan. Number one. Al-Qatari.
That what he said, like the dua was actually a warning for the ummah.
Ahsan. For everybody. No.
Ignorance is no excuse.
Inshallah. Number one, أَنَّ تَعْلِيقَ التَّمَائِمُ وَالْوَدَعِ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. Number one, the Shaykh says, the first benefit, wearing talismans and wada, Okay? Like believing in seashells is from shirk. It's from shirk. Number two, anna min. So number one, once again, attaching talisman, amulets, is from shirk. Number two, anna man i'tamada ala ghayri Allahi, amalahu Allahu binaqidi qasdihi. Whoever relies on others besides Allah will never attain his aim. Rather, they will get the opposite of that which they were looking for. They think that this talisman will keep their property from getting stolen. Next morning, the car is gone. Okay? As an example. Number three, الدعاء على من علق التمائم والودع بما يفوت عليه أو يفوت عليه مقصوده ويعكس عليه مراده. Invoking Allah not to fulfill the purpose of those attaching talismans, amulets, seashell, beads, and the like. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he makes dua against. And also, of course, you teach these people, not everybody knows. Certain people, they just don't know, they just follow. They don't have knowledge. And that's the purpose of us learning in these classes. So when you see somebody doing things like that, you talk to them. First of all, you ask, like the Prophet ﷺ, this is the minhaj of the Prophet ﷺ, why are you wearing this? Because some people, they may just wear it because it's as an adornment, for instance. Okay? He looks, those beads, nice, look beautiful. He's like, oh, my, looks good, match my kufi. As people, they match things, you know? Match kufi with the shoes. I used to be a merchant, you know, for years, like sell things. Alhamdulillah. And I used to sell these things, the Muslim out. For, you know, you remember Abdul Rahman? And the kufis and sometimes some brothers, mashallah, I respect them. People have different things in their lives. Sometimes a brother look at the thobe. He's like, oh man, how much is that? So I gave him a good deal, alhamdulillah. These are my brothers. I'm still making some benefit, of course. You know? And that's why I stayed in the business for a while, alhamdulillah. So, and then the brother said, that's it. Ah, subhanAllah, that's it. Alhamdulillah. And then he's like, can I make a phone call? I said, make two phone calls. It's okay. Then he's talking, and then in conversation, he's like, oh, man, are you sure? Look again. Oh, like, not talking to his family, you know, something. And then he comes like, oh, I can't take it out. What? I just talked to my wife, man. She couldn't find no kufi that matched this one. I respect that, mashallah. Me, it's okay. I wear a white kufi with everything. This doesn't bother me. But I respect if the people they want to match, mashallah. I got no problem with that. Okay? But now, that's why we ask. It's not because anybody who has something on, mushrik, start warning against him. Don't come here. Get out of here. You belong to the church. No, this is not the attitude. Ask. The Prophet ﷺ, ask the man. We ask him. Okay? If a person says, oh, I know, I know that chapter, brother. I like it. Then you may talk to them. If you know something about that, a man wearing jewelry. Jewelry is for adornment, for ladies. I don't know, you may want to like investigate and see what the ulama says about wearing jewelry for men, for adornment, and this and that. ولابن أبي حاتم عن حذيفة أنه رأى رجلا في يده خيط من الحمى فقطعه وتلا قوله تعالى في سورة يوسف وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. Last narration in this chapter, Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah reported about Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, al-Absi. Now here is one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this companion, he knows a lot about evil. Because he says the people used to ask the Prophet ﷺ about good, and I used to ask him a lot about evil. So that he may not touch me. He knows about evil. So here is Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. He saw a man with a piece of twine on his hand as a protection or cure from fear. So he cut the twine. SubhanAllah, he cut it. Hudhayfa cut it and read the verse number 106 in Surah Yusuf. Most of them believe in Allah and still practice shirk. Most of them believe in Allah, still practice shirk. Yeah, he said, la ilaha illallah, pray, fast, go make hajj, and commit shirk. Hudhayfa, he's Ibn al-Yaman, al-Absi, Halif al-Ansar. Sahabi Jalil, min al-Sabiqin al-Awwaleen, from the foremost who accepted Islam. Mata sanat 36 lil-Hijra radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 36 of the Hijra radiallahu anhu. So here, Sheikh Fawzan, he says that these people, that person, he's wearing that twine to protect him from fever. As long as that man has that twine, no fever for that man. That man is fever free. That's what those people believe. Ma'na al-athar. Now this is an athar, this is not a hadith actually, this is an athar, so this is related to a companion. أن حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه أبصر رجلا قد ربط في عضده خيطا يتقي به مرض الحمى فأزاله عنه منكرا فعله هذا. That حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه saw a man wearing around his hand, you know, on his hand, the adud is like by the biceps area, a twine, a thread, believing that it will protect him from fever, from catching fever. So he cut it and removed it away from him, rebuking that action. واستدل بالآية التي أخبر الله فيها أن المشركين يجمعون بين الإقرار بتوحيد الربوبية والشرك في العبادة. And he used as a proof, this noble companion Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه, as a proof to the action, the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they combine between tawheed al-rububiyya. They agree to tawheed al-rububiyya, the tawheed of lordship, that Allah is the only Lord who created the heavens and the earth and this and that. But they mix it with shirk in ibadah. See? They mix it with shirk in worship. So usually, as the ulama, they mention, the one who acknowledges Allah's lordship, should be easy for him to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. If he's the only true God, so why are you going to worship somebody else besides him? But these people, they acknowledge that Allah is the true God, but when it comes to worship, some of the worship, they dedicate it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. معنى هذا معنى الأثر مناسبة الأثر للباب. Now the Shaykh, he gave us the reason why Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab رحمه وتعالى brought this أثر in this chapter. قال أن فيه اعتبار لبس الخيط لدفع المرض شركا يجب إنكاره. He mentioned it because in this أثر anyone who wears a thread or put on a twine to remove or repel an illness, that's considered shirk. Considered shirk. And he should be rebuked and refuted and changed. That's an evil. That's the greatest of all evil, shirk. Because, and we should do this, Yaqwan. You should talk to the people and try to help them out. Because Allah, because the marriage is serious. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ عَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive shirk, but He forgives anything else. If a person died upon shirk, وَعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, even they pray, they fast, there's not going to be any benefit for them. Even Allah addressed the Prophet ﷺ, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُ. If you were to commit shirk, all your deeds will be void. وَلَتَكُونَنَّ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And in the hereafter you will be amongst the losers. So the Muslim who's upon the Sunnah, the Salafi Muslim, he cares about himself, protect himself, but also care about others. The Sunni, the true Salafi, the true Muslim, he observes his surrounding. If he sees his brothers in need, he do what he can to help them out. Whether through financial, whether through physical work, somebody wants to move, somebody wants to mow the grass, somebody here, there, even get a chair to an older man, take him by his hand, teach somebody, a new Muslim, just took Shahada and he volunteered, Akhi, if you want me to teach you the Fatiha, I know it. If you want me to help you to learn the wudu, I have some time. Learn. He observed. And also, if he see his brother doing some bidah, some innovations, nicely, kindly, he don't go and talk about them. He talk to them. One-on-one. Nicely, not to expose people in front of everybody. Nicely. And that's a good Muslim, alhamdulillah. May Allah make us as that. Ameen. May yustafadu min al-athar. For the lack of time, we read to you what the Shaykh says, Hafidhahullah. Number one, inkaru lubsi al-khayti li raf'i al-bala'i aw daf'ihi wa annahu shirk. Wearing threads to remove afflictions or repel them must be refuted because it is shirk. Must be refuted. You don't say, I don't care, man, everybody is free to do it. No, what do you mean everybody is free? Okay, listen, man, he has his own way of life, I got my own way of life, I'm gonna mind my business. You're in the wrong business. No, Muslims are your business too. Because we are ummah that command good and forbid evil. Unless if you don't know, mashallah, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Unless if you see something and you don't know or you're not sure, don't talk. Go get some knowledge. Okay? Number two, wujubu izalati al-munkar liman yaqdiru ala izalatihi. It is an obligation to forbid evil and remove it for those who have the ability to do so. Sometimes all you can do is talk to a person. You know, this is, doesn't mean that whenever you see somebody wearing a talisman, you gotta go and, wait a minute. No. Sometimes you talk to the people, mashallah. But if you have the ability to remove it with your hand, you do so too. Number three, sihhatul istidlal bima nazala fi shirk al-akbar ala shirk al-asghar li shumulihi lahu. It is correct to use Quranic verses and prophetic traditions pertaining to major shirk to prove the prohibition of acts classified as minor shirk. Okay? Even though when people they do something that is considered minor shirk, it is correct to use ayats, the Shaykh he says, that actually these ayats they are pertaining to major shirk to refute that minor shirk. Number four, أن المشركين يقرون بتوحيد الربوبية ومع هذا هم مشركون لأنهم لم يخلصوا في العبادة. Though the mushrikun, the polytheists, confess and accept and acknowledge Tawheed al-Rububiyya, they still polytheists. Even though they say Allah is one, we're not saying Jesus is Lord. We're not saying there is three gods, only one. Still they polytheist mushrikun. Why? Because they didn't sincerely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing all actions of worship for Him alone. Okay, so a person, yes, acknowledge that Allah is the only true God, the only creator, provider, bestower of all bounties, the one who runs and governs the whole universe. Nothing happens without his leave and permission. But still, all actions of worship has to be performed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Imam bin Baz, as actually just last night I was reading at Masjid Al-Ihsan, because we have classes every Friday, alhamdulillah, over there, from the book, Tuhfat Al-Ikhwan, بفتاوى تتعلق أو أجوبة تتعلق بأركان الإسلام. This is a book they compile some very beneficial and important answers by Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah on questions pertaining to the pillars of Islam. And one of the questions we read last night over there is that, actually that was the only question because it was detailed, alhamdulillah, the answer was detailed. It was that the question says that there is a lot of people out of ignorance from this ummah of Muslims, but then out of ignorance of the meaning, they are ignorant of the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. They say it, but they do a lot of things and say things and believe in things that contradict it. What is, Ya Shaykh, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah? And what is our responsibility as we're to acting upon that meaning? And what is the conditions of La ilaha illallah? It was very important. So, the Shaykh was talking about that when somebody acknowledges Allah to be the only true God, then those people, they should devout and perform all actions of worship for Allah alone. Not some worship is for Allah and other worship for the jinn. You find amongst Muslims, those who say they Muslims, they grow up as Muslims, born in a Muslim family, Muslim countries, they pray, fast Ramadan, maybe perform Hajj, read Quran, some of them memorize the whole Quran. But they still go to a grave. Person died in a grave. Oh, so-and-so, give me. They beg them. They cry. That's shirk. Still, others, when they move to another place, all right, they move to another apartment, to another house, alhamdulillah, there is some people helping them. There is your whole truck in front of the new house. The brothers, they want to get, finished with that. This is the owner. Hey, wait! For what? He has a goat. How we gotta slaughter this goat? The brother, they like, subhanAllah, man, you shouldn't go through that, man. A whole goat? A couple pizzas will do, man. Don't have to feed us a whole goat. He's like, that's not for you, man. That's for the jinn. See, they thought that was for them. He says, no, that's for the jinn. Now we gotta slaughter this, or the jinn leave us alone. You're inviting the jinn. So that people, yes, they say La ilaha illallah. But what is the meaning? They have to know the meanings. Next chapter, inshaAllah ta'ala, مَا جَاءَ فِي الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمِ. It is more explained, alhamdulillah, to what we're talking about, is about ruqa, incantations, and talismans and amulets, inshaAllah ta'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.